Welcome to the City of Ocean City Zoning Board July 15th, 2026 meeting. This meeting has been advertised pursuant to PL 1975, Chapter 231, also known as the Open Public Meetings Act. Please stand for the flag salute.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
If you have any electronic devices, please turn them off or silence them now. Roll call. Mr. Becker?
Here.
Mr. Buck? Mr. DeMarco?
Here.
Mr. Gallagher?
Here.
Mr. Geary?
Here.
Mr. Loeb?
Here.
Mr. Price?
Here.
Mrs. Snyder?
Here.
Mr. Waddell?
Here.
Under Secretary's reports, may I have a motion to adopt the 6/18/26 minutes?
Waddell.
Second.
Markle.
All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? May I have a motion to adopt resolution ZBA 26-004 Pierce?
Waddell.
I will give it to Waddell and then DeMarco. Roll call. Mr. Price?
Yes.
Mr. Loeb?
Yes.
Mr. DeMarco?
Yes.
Mr. Becker?
Yes.
Mrs. Snyder?
Yes.
Mr. Waddell?
Yes.
May I have a motion to adopt we're going to do this in two separate votes. ZBA 26-008 PD Management, the subdivision. May I have a motion?
Waddell.
Second.
Markle.
Roll call. Mr. Price?
Yes.
Mr. Loeb?
Yes.
Mr. DeMarco?
Yes.
Mr. Becker?
Yes.
Mrs. Snyder?
Yes.
Mr. Waddell?
Yes.
And this is going to be for the D variance of minor site plan for ZBA 26-008 PD Management. May I have a motion?
Waddell.
Second. Roll call. Mr. Price?
Yes.
Mr. Loeb?
Yes.
Mr. DeMarco?
Yes.
Mr. Becker?
Yes.
Mrs. Snyder?
Yes.
Mr. Waddell?
Yes.
I turn the meeting over to the vice chairperson, Mr. Waddell.
You ready, Mr.?
Yes, Mr.
Chair. Thank you.
Thank you very much. For the record, you're Tyler here on behalf of the applicant. It's the application of June Palumbo. She's the owner of 21 Nassau Road. It is lot 5 and block 70.40. The property's undersized interior lot contains 3,200 square feet. The property's located in G55,000 zone and contains an under construction single family dwelling. The applicant's seeking approval to construct a covered porch on this under construction dwelling, which this covered porch is just expanding the already approved landing in the front of the property. The proposed porch is only 4.4 feet in depth and is required to be a minimum of 8 feet in depth to qualify for the 2% lot area bonus with regards to building coverage. As a result, this proposed covered porch area is required to be used in our building coverage calculations, bringing our building coverage above the required threshold by just over 2%. No other variances are requested or required for approval of this application, and the proposed dwelling is being constructed to fully conform to all other zoning requirements. The purpose of the expansion of the front porch is to provide additional space for the applicant. Protected from the elements when she's in Ocean City. Many other properties in the area have covered porches, which will ensure that the requested porch will not be out of character in the neighborhood. The subject porch is not going to encroach into the front or side or setback, so only affect building coverage and only by this little over 2% threshold. The requested variance can be granted under the C2 standard as the covered porch encourages approach general welfare, satisfying purpose of the master plan. Provide additional light, air, and open space, establish appropriate population density concentrations, and will provide a more aesthetically pleasing look for the front of the building. Positive aspects grant this application outweigh negative aspects. As a result, the testimony and evidence will indicate that there's no substantial detriment to the public good, grant variance not compared to the potential purpose of the zone plan or zone ordinance. The applicant intends on calling one witness tonight. That's the project architect, Christopher Howard.
Can I, before you continue, I have this located in the G 40-3500 zone. The EDA report indicates that on the cover sheet, However, in the chart, it indicates G55,000.
Okay, that's the typo.
So
yes,
you're confident.
G40.
So it should be the G. Okay, I just want to make sure it was reviewed under the correct criteria. The 40,3500. Okay.
All right, Mr. Halliday, just give us your name and business address for the record, and I'll swear you.
Sure, Chris Halliday, Halliday Architects at 728 West Avenue.
Please raise your right hand. Do you swear or affirm the testimony you'll give this evening will be the truth?
I do.
Okay, thank you. And Mr. Chairman, we'll accept Mr.
Yes, he's been here many times before.
Thank you. Mr. Halliday, can you provide the board an overview of the application, please?
Sure. The Palumbos approached me in 2023 to design a new home to replace the existing Beaton cottage. The home was designed and permitted in the fall of 2025. At the time of the permit process, we did have a front porch proposed. Because the front porch is not 8 feet in deep depth, it doesn't meet the criteria to be called a porch. And therefore, it's called a deck. And in the garden zone, decks count as both. So we couldn't enlarge the porch to 8 feet because that 2% criteria, being an undersized lot, would have been over building coverage anyway because it's only a 2% credit. So we went in with a front porch label that we then had to remove because it wasn't at the appropriate depth in the definition of porch. So we then got our permit with a 36 square foot landing, which is a by right approval. And after speaking with the family, we decided that we wanted to go for a variance to allow for the front porch because they felt that the benefit for their family was worth going through the process.
The only variance we need is for building coverage, correct?
That's correct.
We're not really expanding the practical building coverage, is that correct?
That's correct.
Not any bedrooms, correct?
No, it's essentially, right now there's a 36 square foot landing at the top of the stair that's covered. We're just extending that landing to the right to allow for two rocking chairs. The Palumbos have owned this property for 59 years, and they have always sat on that front porch and said hi to neighbors. They want to continue that practice.
Porch is fully conforming, correct?
Correct.
All right. And let's give the definition for the porch. It's a very modest porch. What are the dimensions?
Sure. The proposed porch is 74 square feet. It is 16.75 wide by 4.53.
Essentially, you're doubling the size of the landing.
That's correct.
All right. Other properties we block in the area have decks and porches that are similar to what we're proposing.
Yes, yeah, so the porches are in the master plan. They are encouraged, just for this reason, to encourage neighbors to interact. Sit on a front porch, say hi to your neighbors. It is something that you see around the island. In the non-discreet zones, they do not count towards coverages. So in the garden zone, they do count, which is why they allow for that 2% increase in building coverage if it meets the definition. We're just a smaller lot, so that 2% doesn't give us the size to allow for coverage.
In your professional opinion, can this variance be granted under the C2 flexible standard?
Yes.
It's locked up first. It's not yet. You're promoting general welfare by satisfying the purpose of the master plan to testify to earlier, correct?
That's correct.
More light, air, and open space by having this additional square footage outside, correct?
That's correct. June also would like just a covered area to sit. It is west facing, so it's a hot area. She has had skin cancer in the past, and it also is an aesthetic improvement in the front.
I was just going to say, we're promoting more job provision environments. It looks a little bit nicer having this larger area in the front, correct?
A covered porch, yes.
All right. And you know, you said this in terms of sitting out the porch. This promotes community engagement.
That's right, yes.
All right. And you know, at the end of the day here, we're seeking a building coverage variance that's just over 2% above the threshold, correct?
That's correct.
Would you agree with me that that's would be a de minimis request?
That's correct. It like I said, it is one of those things that a landing that is 36 square feet does not count. Doubling that landing makes it an area that's reasonable to have two or three rocking chairs, and that's all the family's doing.
Would there be any detriment to the public good if the board sees fit to grant the application?
No.
Any impairment whatsoever to the intent purposes of the zoning ordinance in light of what you testified to and how you designed this?
No, it meets the setbacks. It's a small area just for sitting. It's kind of part of the original design that we had removed just to comply with the ordinance, partially because it's an undersized lot. If it was a larger lot and we had that 2%, we could have kind of moved the building back and had a larger front porch to comply with the definition of porch. But because we don't have that size, we're a smaller area. So the fact that we can't do a bigger porch, means we're here in front of you asking for relief.
So it's your testimony that the negative criteria has been satisfied?
Yes.
Those are all the questions I have for Mr. Holliday. The applicant rests with the moment.
You rest?
Yes.
Carol's been in the building for Joe.
Carol?
Our engineer design associates reviewed the application for a variance for relief to add a covered porch to the existing single family structure currently under construction at 21 Nassau Road. The applicant is requesting a C2 flexible variance. The proposed covered porch is 4.43 feet in depth and 8 feet in depth is required to qualify for the 2% lot area to be excluded from the building coverage. As such, the proposed covered porch is required to be used in calculating the building coverage, which is proposed at 37.37%, where 35% is permitted. There are no other comments in Mr. McVeigh's letter other than all aspects of construction are covered under the current construction zoning and concrete right-of-way permits.
Okay. Comments, sir? Carol, you finished?
I'm finished. That's it.
Call her Joe.
Pardon?
Did you call her Joe?
Carol.
Oh.
Do you have any comments, solicitor?
Not at this time, no.
Okay. Well, we'll open up the public comment. You're finished with your testimony?
Yes, sir.
Any public comment? People like to come up, please. Speak to this. Could you raise your right hand and your name, address?
David Bile, and I am Wolf and June's future neighbor at 29 Gardens Road. Property directly to the north of that.
What's your address?
My current address, 38 West 8th Street.
And then, can you spell your last name? I'm sorry.
Yeah, Bile. B is boy, E-Y-E-L.
All right. Mr. Bile, please raise your right hand. You swear affirm the testimony you're about to give me the truth?
I do.
Okay, thank you.
Yep. Just came up to support June for her variance here. When we were entertaining the purchase of the home directly next door to her, I think 80% of the time that we either drove by the property or visited the property, she and her family were outside on that front porch. I think it brings something special to that neighborhood, especially on Nassau, which is a really nice little quiet street there, that there's access. I've looked at the plan before and after and think that also from a design element, the property looks a lot better with the porch extended a little bit further, closer to my home, rather than only having the landing directly at the front door. That whole neighborhood seems to have a much more neighborhood-like design than a lot of other properties on the island. So just here generally support the very small change to her home. I think the neighborhood all seems to know June and her family exceptionally well. Always being out on that porch, and we look forward to spending a lot of time with them directly. Thank you for your time, everybody.
Thank you. large negative. I'm going to take a page right out of White Blood's book about a couple of these things, which is, this just makes sense. In fact, the real question is, why don't you make it 6 feet? So a little more comfortable as a porch. And even if it's 6 feet, because Dave's house is not exactly square in Nassau Road, it won't be protruding past the side of Dave's house. It's also not construction.
Any more public comment? Okay, we'll close public. Go into questions. Jamie?
No questions at all. Thank you, Ryan. No questions.
No questions.
No questions.
No questions? Okay, we'll close the questions here. And you want to go into a summary?
I'm going to waive summary, Mr. Chairman.
Really? Okay. Somewhere else.
Sure. All right, this is a C variance application. The applicant's proposing this expanded covered porch. It requires one variance. And specifically, that is for building coverage, 35% is the permitted maximum, and there's 37.37%. The testimony indicated that the depth of the porch is only 4.43 feet, and because it's not a minimum of 8 feet, they do not qualify for the 2% of the lot area to be excluded from building coverage, and in turn requires a building coverage variance for that just over 2%. The applicant indicated in any C variance application, it's what we call a C2 variance. The board has to weigh the positives and the negatives. In terms of the positives, the applicant has to demonstrate that granting the variance will advance one or more purposes of zoning. The applicant went through at least three. They indicated this would promote the general welfare, as it's consistent with the master plan. It'll provide for light air and open space, and it will aesthetically enhance the front of the building. In terms of the negatives, the board has to determine whether there will be any substantial detriment to the public good or substantial impairment of the zone plan or zoning ordinance of the city of Ocean City. And in terms of those negatives, the applicant's testimony was this is de minimis. They're 2.37% above the permitted maximum. It meets all the setback requirements, of course. So it's just a one variance, and it's consistent with the master plan. So it's just that one variance. In terms of conditions, I didn't hear anything specifically. We'll put all the standard conditions we put in every approval, assuming you're approved, and that will include anything in Mr. McFay's report, which seemed very minimal. That's pretty much it. Unless there's any further questions, we'll need a motion, a second, and a roll call vote.
Your motion? Jamie?
Mm-hmm. Second. Who's that? Roll call. Mr. Price?
Yeah, considering that the addition is for a front porch, it's outdoor space. So the building coverage increases not from the interior or any bedrooms, anything like that. I think it makes a more inviting home, and it's a good addition. How about yes?
Mr. Geary?
Yes.
Mr. Logue?
Yes.
Mr. DeMarco?
Yes.
Mr. Becker?
Yes.
Mrs. Snyder?
Yes.
Mr. Waddell?
Yes.
Thank you very much. Thank you for your time.
Yeah, and we're not sure which order he's going. You're not on the list.
So, right, the application ZBA 26-010, the appeal is up next. Were you keeping it that way, or did you want to reverse them?
Mr. Chairman, members of the board, if we could, there are two matters before you, and I'd like to be straightforward with you and the board on how we would like to approach this. If the zoning application is approved, we don't need to get to the appeal. And to do the appeal first will require a lot of extra testimony. There is no difference in the timing of which one goes first, the appeal or the application itself. So if your permission, and if the board would like to save potentially some time, we'd like to go with the application first.
From a legal perspective, I do not have an issue with that. Technically, I understand why he filed the appeal, but that's not a requirement. You could have just filed the application. There's nothing in the land use law that says if you file an appeal and as alternative relief, you file an application, you have to proceed with the appeal first. So I do not have an issue with that from a legal perspective. So it's really the board's discretion.
Does anybody object? Okay,
you want to stay longer, we can do the appeal first. You want to get out of here shorter, we should do the application.
Go ahead, Mr. Bastini.
Good evening, John Battistini, on behalf of the applicant, which is 3829-31 Central LL.
Mr. Battistini, I don't want to interrupt you.
Yep.
But you're going to.
We're going to go
interrupt you about the fence.
Yes, please, go ahead.
Okay, so the land use law requires everyone within 200 feet of the subject property to get direct notice by certified mail at least 10 days prior to the hearing. Applicant has satisfied that. The land use law also requires publication in an online newspaper, online, I guess that's not the right word, online publication of the legal notice of this hearing at least 10 days prior to the hearing that serves the municipality, in this case the Ocean City Center. Mr. Battistini's office provided us with evidence that he sent his notice to the Sentinel on July 1st, I believe, which is 15 days prior to the hearing. The law says that the online publication, the Sentinel, is required to publish it within 24 hours. For whatever reason, they did not, and it did not get published until about 5 days later on July 6th, which I have seen online, and you'll get us the proof that it was July 6th. July 6th is one day late, and that goes to the jurisdiction of the board. And then in reviewing the law, there is a section, and I'm just going to put it into the record, and I had detailed discussions with Mr. Battistini, NJSA 35:3-4, which is a new law, Section C, says legal notice is published on a public entity's internet website or the internet website of an online news publication, which would be the Sentinel, in accordance with PL yada yada, shall not be deemed effective if at least one of the following circumstances exist, and then it gives you five circumstances. The first four aren't applicable to us, but the fifth one says, any other circumstances preventing the publishing, posting, or display of a legal notice on the public entity internet website or online news publication that are outside of the control of the public entity, corporation, or individual required by law or court order or rule to publish the legal notice. So in looking at that, it's my opinion that the applicant, by sending and giving us proof that he sent it to the Sentinel on July 1st, and the Sentinel's requirement is to then publish it within 24 hours, in my opinion, that's been outside the applicant's control. They did what they were supposed to do. This is a new law, so we did want to put something on the record, but in my opinion, the applicant has, under this ordinance, satisfied his notice requirements, and we've we've discussed that at length. The applicant wishes to proceed legally. I believe we can proceed, but I did want to have something on the record about that. Is that, did I sum that up?
Perfect.
And you do obviously understand it. If you don't, if tonight doesn't go in your favor, you cannot now raise that issue that your own notice was defective, correct?
I'm positive.
Does everyone understand that, or do we need more discussion?
Yes.
All right, so we're going to proceed with the application first.
Thank you so much. This is an unusual situation. As far as I can tell, it's only happened twice in past history before this zoning board. And when you hear the testimony tonight, I ask you to understand that nothing has changed from what was going to be built, what was approved, what there were construction plans for. Nothing has changed. As a matter of fact, some things have changed from what the original structure was, in the sense that we are actually more conforming than what was previously there. But the application for the construction permit and what was approved by the construction office is exactly what we're asking for here. So the neighbors aren't surprised. The neighbors aren't going to see anything that is different from what was already going to be built. At this time, I'd like to have Mr. Bechtel be sworn in as an expert in his field. And we're also going to have some testimony at the end, should the board feel it's necessary, from John Felice. John Felice was the contractor project manager who made the ultimate decision that the structure needed, or the framing, could not be used, and therefore started to use Newfront.
Okay, Mr. Bechtel, just your name and his business address, please.
Andrew Bechtel, Thomas Bechtel, engineers and architects, by the way, I sure wrote Summers Point.
And please raise your own hand. You swear a friend of testimony, you'll give this evening the truth.
Yes, sir.
And you're a licensed planner and architect in the state of New Jersey, correct? And I assume we'll accept the qualifications.
He's been here many times.
Mr. Bechtel, can you tell us what was at the property?
Yes, it was an existing two-family dwelling.
And what was the building coverage on that lot?
The existing building coverage on that was 45.7%.
And the existing impervious coverage?
93.1%.
And how many off-street parking spaces were there?
Four off-street parking spaces.
Was there the side yard setback conforming?
No, the side yards were not conforming.
Were any of these conditions created by the applicant? They're
all pre-existing conditions, yes. The existing home was there.
And what flood zone are we in?
An AE9 zone.
Was the pre-existing structure at or above that elevation?
It was very close, but it was just as close, a little bit below.
You're familiar with the substantial improvement?
Yes. Anytime you do more than 50% renovation, you must look at the property. So the property was looked.
And did the scope of the project cross that threshold?
Absolutely.
So once it's past that threshold, what does the applicant have to do?
They have to lift their structure.
Is it optional?
No.
Is the ordinance required?
Yes, the ordinance does require it. Yes.
Now, there was a cribbing plan that was done. Tell me a little bit about what a cribbing plan would show with respect to the foundation.
Well, the cribbing plan just basically shows the substructure for the home. Well, it's temporarily supported up in the air to lift the property, or lift the home.
Did the city review that plan?
Yes, they did.
And then they issue after the permit to lift it?
Yes, we had full zone and building permits for this renovation.
Okay. Can you talk to us about, did the permitted plans contemplate a new foundation?
Yes, there were some changes that had to be done and shoring up of the existing foundation that was there. Some walls were moving in. Some walls had to be actually moved over. Some other foundations had to be shored up with helical piles. When you lift the home, typically you're going to have to drive helical piles to do underneath. It's a much more time-consuming, much more expensive process to do rather than driving new piles because the house is up in the air, it's kind of in the road when you're trying to drive piles.
And one of the reasons we needed a new foundation is because we're actually making this building more conforming.
We are making it more conforming, so we were bringing it in, so we had to move the walls in. With the renovation of the walls, that were being brought in.
And did the city review the foundation plan?
Yes.
Did they approve?
Yes.
And did they issue construction permits for it?
Yes.
Did the city inspect it that you're aware of?
Yes.
And was any of that built outside the scope of what the city permitted in the original plan?
Everything was built exactly as the plan.
And that still hasn't changed to this day?
Correct.
We're not asking for anything more?
Correct.
What is the status of the foundation today?
The foundation is done. There's a first floor decking basically down, and that's where we were told to stop.
So it's existing in its sound?
Yes.
And would you consider it lawfully existing on the property?
Yes.
Now, what are we proposing to do?
What we were proposing to do was take the older structure, lift it, create some higher ceilings on the first new floor, and then add an entirely new floor on the top level. So there was a bit of new framing being added to the project. The entire building was going to have new windows, new sheathing, new siding, sistered studs next to every single old stud, new sheathing on the floor. So with the exception of some floor joists and some wall studs, basically the building was brought down to full guts for the studs, basically.
There's going to be some repetitive questions here, and I'm going to ask you again.
Yes.
The footprint the same as what existed?
It is not the same as existed. The building has actually been brought in, both on the sides and off the back side.
So the exterior dimensions are small?
Yes, they are.
Is the location of the foundation on the same area as the previous foundation?
Again, that was brought in because of the reduction of the building.
Same use? Right?
Same use, still a two-family home.
With respect to the baseline, let's talk about what does conform. Is the proposed use permitted?
Yes, it is.
Is there sufficient lot area?
Yes.
Lot width, frontage, and depth all conforming?
Yes.
Front yard setback?
Yes.
Rear yard setback?
Yes.
Building height?
Yes.
Habitable story?
Yes.
Matter of fact, we're reducing the habitable story from two and a half to two?
There was a loft space on the structure. We didn't include it on bulk chart, but there was a loft space that could be considered a half story.
Now, we also touched lightly on what variances, or I should say, what non-conformities are being cured. Let's start with the side yard setback.
Yes, the side yard setbacks are being increased on the one side from 4.49 or 6.9 to 5'1". And then we're going to have an aggregate setback of the 11 feet, which is, again, what is allowed by ordinance.
So the project is eliminating the side yard setback violation?
Yes.
And it's on aggregate as well?
Yes, it does.
With regard to what we are actually seeking, we're looking for a maximum building coverage, correct?
Yes.
And 38% is what's required, is that correct?
That is what is permitted, yes.
And the original building was at 45.7?
It was.
And where are we at now?
43.8%.
So that's a reduction, correct?
It is a reduction.
And the maximum impervious coverage required at 55%?
That is correct.
And at one point, existing, it was 93.1%?
Yes, it was 93.1%, yes.
And we're actually proposing a little bit less.
On this application, we're proposing 3,200, which would be 80% impervious coverage.
And we're going to do a little bit more, correct?
Yes.
Try to drop that impervious coverage even more.
We can certainly change all the driveway to impervious pavers, which would gain us another 268 square feet of impervious space, which translates to approximately 6.7%. So our percentage will be down now to 67.3%. Obviously, 73.7%.
And parking spaces. Is anything changing from what was there?
There were two parking spaces per unit there before. There are two parking spaces there per unit now.
And the parking, the access from the parking was from Central?
Yes, it was. On this block in particular, this is an RO zone. This has technical alley access. However, the south side of the property is almost totally inundated with sand. There's also a retaining wall in the back of the property. the property immediately to the north of this is also front-loaded from central, and then every single property from the south of this property is all front-loaded. So it's not a unique situation that this is like the only property on the block that has a front-loaded garage off of central. In fact, we did a renovation that was before this board before, where it's also just a little further down the block, where again, it's also off of Central Avenue as well. So the parking is off of Central Avenue.
Is it practical to actually park and traverse the rear alley and get into parking?
Again, half of the alley is inundated with sand in directly behind here, and I can enter this. Have a couple of photos. From the previous conditions, if I may. Show this to Jamie, but she's there. This is just a shot of the back side of the property.
A1 photo.
This basically shows the back side of the property. And then this is the elevation view, or excuse me, the plan view. I'm entering in here. That basically shows our lot. Our lot is the one at the very end of the alley where you can see about half of it is inundated with the sand. It is this building. So the gray building that you're seeing with the yellow Jeep parked in front of it, that's our subject property. You can see the rear retaining wall. You can see the sand basically halfway down that property. And I believe that the people that live on the beach side of this house use that sometimes for parking as well. The other shot, again, we're at the end of the alley. You can see how there's a bunch of sand built up on that one side. It's a very tight space. The sand blows across the alley. It's not very practical. It's also a dead-end alley. And again, you can also see from what I was testifying before to is the project directly to the north, property to the north, also is accessed via the street off of Central, and every single property down the south side is also accessed from Central up the avenue, not any kind of alley.
Now, does the ordinance provide some relief from the alley access and parking?
Actually, it does. Just changed in 2025. There was a section that was added for lots and alley access, and I'll read it so you guys can have. This is section 25-1700.11.0A. And it is alley lots, driveways access shall be from the alley for all lots adjoining an alley, except for dwellings existing prior to the effectiveness date of the ordinance, where although the lot adjoins an alley, the rear yard is inaccessible due to location of principal building. So basically what that was created for were people who had like pools in their backyard that were on an alley and they wanted to do an addition, but didn't want to have to rip their pool out to put a parking space in the back. So there have been a couple of instances, I believe, where it's actually been in front of this board, where they said, look, I got a pull in from the front street because my backyard's this thriving oasis or whatever the heck it was. This actually has a retaining wall. It has sand in front of it. It was pre-existing before this ordinance was passed. Our argument would be, I don't know if we need the variance for access off of Central Avenue, but this new language certainly helps our cause as to why Central should be the main location. Not to mention, it's been this way since 1972. The other properties along, adjoining properties are all like this, so it's not like it's something new that the public hasn't seen before. It's two in, it's two out. Exactly what was there before in the exact same location, as that was one of the requirements or asks of the engineer as far as the depressed curve that we're keeping.
Now, we do have a lawfully existing foundation that's in the way.
Correct.
And so this application essentially cures two existing violations, the side yard and the side yard.
And technically the rear yard too, because again, the rear of the building was moved back into this addition as well. So the rear yard setback, it also changes a little bit as well.
It actually reduces impervious coverage as well. It's been building coverage.
Correct, yes.
And it leaves two conditions exactly the way that they are. Not alley access, but Central Avenue access, as well as the parking spots.
Correct, yes.
And this is what everybody was expecting in the neighborhood.
Correct. This is exactly what was approved by zoning and by building code. Nothing has changed since then.
And we certainly don't need to use fair.
No, we do not.
Okay. Let's talk about the application of the heart of what's going on. The city required this elevation as part of the renovation, correct?
Yes, it did.
And This, would you say, is an exceptional situation?
It is. It was a very extensive renovation to the existing property. It required a lift, it required sistering studs, sistering joists, removing a lot of interior walls to replace with other interior walls. There were a lot of moving parts in this renovation, yes.
Now, you've been involved since the beginning of this?
Yes.
Were you ever expected to be here tonight testifying to what we're testifying to?
I had multiple conversations with the owner as to how to avoid any kind of zoning board application whatsoever. So that's why we spent a lot of time with Jessica to make sure that this would all go as smoothly as possible and not have to waste your time.
And let's talk about some of the reasons why, under the positive criteria, that the board can grant this variance. And let's start with what's lawfully there.
The foundation's lawfully there now. The existing building that was lawfully there was under old ordinances and was conforming at the time.
And if you were to put a new building, a conforming building, would you have to demolish the lawfully existing structure that's there down the foundation?
Yes, we would.
And you'd have to get heavy equipment in there and tear it out?
Yes, we would.
Put it in a landfill?
Yes.
And then have a whole bunch of other people come back and put a new foundation in?
Yes.
All to lots of disturbances to the neighborhood and so forth?
Yes, and then there'd also be the issue with the alley access, because again, that alley is not necessarily clear all the time. So not knowing exactly who's in charge of maintaining that alley, if it has to be shoveled and sand has to be brought away from it, there would be a strong possibility that we'd be back in front of you regardless for access via Central Avenue.
Let's go on and talk about the C1 criteria, which is, again, the positive. Does this create a hardship, given that the existing foundation is there, and it's lawfully there?
Yes. The foundation has been built. It's there. It was legal. It was approved. Everybody was happy.
And then in respect to moving things under the C2 criteria, again, the positive criteria. Let's talk about it. Does this new building, and the building that was going to be built, still provide for protection against flood?
Absolutely. Fire? It's higher than the flood. It's obviously built better because of today's codes for fire. It would have all the proper ratings between floors, dampers, etc.
And this structure is more conforming as well, which is also a purpose of the municipal land use law.
Yes, it's totally conforming based on setbacks, height, all those, bulk. It is fully conforming. That is correct.
Especially to what was existing.
Yes, it's more conforming than the coverages that were previously existing as well.
And in regard to the inundation or the use of recycling material, would it make sense to destroy the foundation that's there, that's been approved, that's existing?
I don't believe it would be, but again, that's up to the board to decide. I would also say that it's also an improvement to the desired visual environment. This older structure with T111 siding, which we'll get to in a second, that was kind of past its prime for its look. Again, it was built in 1972, when we were totally updating this project to be something a bit more newer, fresher, better looking.
In your professional opinion, is there the positive benefits outweigh any of the negative benefits?
Again, this building was approved by the town. It's because the demo was taken a little too far that we're before you. The reason why we're in front of you is because the structure was removed too much, and that's why we're in front of you. It has nothing to do with any other thing with the mass of the structure, the coverages or what have you. They were all fully conforming. Zoning approved it, city approved it, the building got demolished too much, and that's why we're in front of you.
One of the neighboring properties be harmed by this project?
Harmed by this project?
Yeah. What? Is it bad for the neighborhood?
No. Again, it's actually fairly consistent with the neighborhood because, again, from the north of us to the south of us, they're all parking off of Central Avenue. It's all that same look. They're all two-family homes. You know, it was going to hopefully maybe get some other people to start renovating their homes.
Building coverage, better or worse?
The building coverage is better than what was existing.
Impervious coverage, better or worse?
Better than what was existing.
Flood protection, better or worse?
Better.
Fire safety and code compliance, better or worse?
Better.
Parking?
Same.
Side yard setback, better or worse?
Better.
Well, better for the neighborhood.
Better for the neighborhood, yes.
Is there any substantial impairment to the zoning land of any kind?
No, again, the use and the setbacks and the bulks of the mass of the structure are the same. The issues are the two coverage variances for impervious and building, and then again, the question of the parking.
Now, you've had conversations with John Felice, is that correct?
Yes.
And John Felice is here, so he can testify that you may say that's not correct.
Correct, yes.
All right, so we have an in-person witness who can testify for purposes of hearsay, in case we need to. In your conversations with John, what did he express the condition of the property was?
The condition of the property was to be expected how any old home would be. You know, they had to demo inside. Studs didn't look great, but they looked possibly salvageable. They did demolition on the inside of the property before they did the lift. Then they did the lift. They had to keep the exterior of the property together with the framing, the sheathing on the exterior of the building to keep it stable while they lived there.
Now, in the application, you did see that the applicant took the building off, the framing off, and put it off to the side, correct?
Yes.
And he built the frame, correct?
Yes.
And then we put the frame back in, actually put it on top of the foundation, correct?
Yes.
And it was at that point where, according to your conversations with John Felice, who's here, at that point, John had mentioned, this isn't safe.
That is when he's telling me that it happened. I did not have the conversation while this was happening.
No, no, no.
Let me be very clear that the contractor did not tell me that he was tearing the building down. What happened was, when everybody, I'm sure, saw it. It was all over social media when the building was up in the air. It was up in the air for quite some time. Was then placed back down. When they were reassembling the building and had to start pulling the sheathing off of the structure, it is then when they noticed that the amount of moisture that got through the T111 siding and through the sheathing and now to the exterior side of the stud, where those studs were basically bleeding black mold. And it was something that they didn't really get to see until they started ripping the sheathing off the side of the structure. That's when they decided that this framing was no longer salvageable.
Clearly after the foundation was completed.
The foundation was completed, the building was on top of it.
And you saw the pictures that are in the application to show you what it looked like and at what point it was up in the air. At this point, I have no further questions for Mr. Bechtel. We do have John Felice here. If you want to continue to ask questions about the condition of the property, and you know, why it was the decision was made by John. Nobody else made that decision. John made it on his own. Unfortunately, he didn't know any better. You're welcome to ask him to contact anybody. He thought he was doing the safest thing by removing the bad framing so that new framing would be better. At this point, if you have any questions for Mr.
Beckham. Well, no, I have to. Something he said.
Okay.
Andrew, you mentioned if you did permeable pavers, the coverage could be reduced to what?
The coverage would be reduced 6.7%, so it would be 73.3%.
Thank you. That was it.
Now, the municipal land law says that there are certain protections associated with partially destroyed buildings. Is that correct?
Yes.
And part of our testimony is we actually have a foundation.
We do.
And albeit the foundation might be new in the sense of it replaces the old one, it's still lawfully existing and it's there.
Yes, it is.
So if a big wind would have blown down the rest of the building, we still would be considered partially destroyed. Not fully destroyed because we have an actual foundation.
Yes, and again, they went to the time and effort to lift the entire structure, build the foundation with helical pipes, set the thing back down. That's when the framing was removed.
It's an unusual situation. Again, we know that it's happened, and the board has been asked to address the same situation before. I don't know what other questions the board may have, but by all means, it's not where we want it to be.
Well, we have a session coming up with the board questioning if you're resting now, Mr. Bessie.
Yes.
Okay. Very good. They're resting. Do we have a report from the city?
No. Engineering Design Associates reviewed the project, and our review memorandum is dated June 10, 2026. The applicant is seeking approval to demolish the existing two-family structure and construct a new two-family structure at 3829 31 Central Avenue. The structure was originally a house living renovation, but exceeded the scope of work and was issued a stop work order by the Ocean City Construction official on March 24, 2026. First, our letter identifies a few more variances than the plan, and I wanted to talk about that for a minute. The side yard total. It's small, but there's a setback on the plan. The plot plan that is 5.08 feet. It's so I know where your setbacks are taken from the front here where you have the setbacks, but a little further that's where there's a 5.08-foot setback on the side.
So 5'1" is what's required, yes.
So we add that in our letter, we have 5.08 for the side yard to the north, 5.88 to the south, so that's 10.96, 11 is required. So that's called out as a variance. Small.
Whatever that was, it was shifted so that it is exactly at the 11. Because we wouldn't have gotten the zoning approval from Jessica without that.
So
you said it was 5.88 on the one?
5.88 and 5.08.
So it would be short by 0.02
feet.
Yes.
Yeah.
So that's, I would argue that was de minimis, but I think Jessica didn't mind that. Again, that was approved by Jessica when we did that. So either we will make sure that it's in conformance, which I believe it is, or we'll ask for 0.02, so less than an eighth of an inch variance for aggregate width.
0.04.
That's the total side yard setback. The other variances identified in our review memorandum are the rear yard setback variances.
And again, if I may, that is the block average. So they're looking at it as a 25-foot, but it's not. You have to do the block average. And again, we wouldn't have been able to do what we did building if we didn't get the approval from Jessica. So it matches the block average, which is, that's why we have the distance from the front property line to the back of the building and the front property line to the rear deck. So it's not a 25-foot setback. It's actually the block average because we're in the RO240 zone. We're not in an R240 zone.
Our interpretation was based on the alley being between the beach.
That's not how Jessica interpreted it.
So our interpretation was 25 feet since there was an alley in between the beach and the building. So it would be considered non-waterfront. Waterfront properties you can use the averaging, but our interpretation was it's not a non-waterfront.
Yeah, I yield to the zoning officer who was the one who issued the permit office. So again, I would say that was approved by the zoning office. And again, we couldn't have built in there if it wasn't approved that way. The only variances we're asking for are coverage and parking numbers and the access to the parking. Again, those are the only things that we would have needed if we went in front of the board. This is what Jessica had approved.
Other variances identified that match the plan are maximum building coverage of 43.8%, where 38% is permitted, and impervious coverage of 80%, where 55% is permitted, and you stated that you could reduce that to, I have 73.3% when you added the impervious acres. Parking, the RSRS standards for five bedrooms is three parking spaces. Six. There's four parking spaces that's been identified as a variance. And the parking in the front yard is not permitted in accordance with section 25, 300.2. 12.4D1, because there's access from the alley. The following non-conforming conditions exist: minimum side yard setback, which has been eliminated, minimum total side yard setback, which has been, the non-conformity was decreased, rear yard setback to the building, the non-conformity was decreased, rear yard setback to the deck, the non-conformity is increased, maximum building coverage has been decreased, impervious coverage decreased, and the parking in the front yard exists, it's unchanged. There is a comment about decreasing the impervious coverage, which was addressed, and other comments, retaining wall, contribution for a street tree, and a waiver from the minimum permitted width of the driveway curb compression. It's 26.81, and the maximum is 25 feet. The comments plan shall clearly indicate the proposed concrete sidewalk and apron, and the proposed HVAC unit should be shown. And item number 9 addresses the rear yard. The rear yard of the property is adjacent to an alley. The rear does not appear to adjoin the Atlantic Ocean, so they require a rear yard setback of 25 feet in the rear parking lot. That's the extent of our presentation.
Guarantees required, correct? Number 12?
In regard to whether or not we need a rear yard setback, the application itself is relatively simple, although there's a lot to it in the sense of what we're asking the board to do. What we're asking the board to do is just to approve what was approved by Jessica, which would have been a redevelopment. It's a renovation of an existing building, which we ran into problems while we were trying to renovate, which this board has seen before. So instead of arguing whether or not we need variances or not, just add the variances as the applicant had noticed for all these additional variances. If they were not specifically identified. So, again, kind of go back to what the purpose of an unusual circumstance that we're here for. And that is basically to approve a plan that was well thought out, well developed with Jessica, and but for some unforeseen circumstances, we are now left with a conforming foundation. Not a building to look back on top
of. Any more?
No, that's the
okay, thank you. Thank you very much. Anything you'd like to answer?
Not at this time.
Okay. Finishes the testimony. We're going to open it to the public. Anybody like to speak about this? Sir, raise your hand, name, address.
You know, the thing is my mouth, I got a big mouth. That's a Dave Lease, 3820 Wesley Avenue.
Can you spell your last name?
L-I-E-S-S.
3820 Wesley?
Yes.
All right, Mr. Lease, please raise your right hand. You swear affirm the testimony you're about to give will be the truth?
Yes.
Thank you.
First of all, I know nothing at all about building. I don't know a setback from anything, so if I sound a little stupid here, it's because I don't really get into the whole building thing. I look at buildings that go up and say, wow, that's pretty amazing that they did that. Watching this property that I refer to as Finkelstein's property because I don't know the address, the one on Central Avenue, the one we're talking about. It was pretty amazing, you know, watching what was going on. And when we found out that Christovest was the one who was building, all the neighbors were pretty excited about it because they said, we're finally going to get a decent little property there. I don't know if anybody ever saw the property that's in question here, but it's pretty nasty-looking building. It looks better now than it did in the past 24 years. years since I've been a resident of Ocean City. Each window that came out and everything else just started looking better and better and better because it really was dilapidated. It was in sad shape. There was an odor that came out of that building that was ungodly. And when the cover of the book started getting ripped off, we could see, you know, where the smell and everything was coming from. There was a tremendous amount of rot. There was a lot of mold that was very visible. While the renovation was going on, we were a little bit fearful to walk in between the two houses because, like, my wife wouldn't do it. She said, "Something's going to fall on me. I can't deal with that." So, you know, there's just a lot of issues with that property, and we're thrilled to death that it's, we're not thrilled that it's stopped, because it's, we endured a lot of noise, a lot of construction, et cetera, while everything was going on. And I don't know when it stopped completely. I guess it was maybe about a month, 2-3 months ago, whatever, we saw the porta potties getting taken away. And once we saw the porta potty leaving, we knew we were in trouble. You know, something was up, and the property was not going to be, you know, continue being built. And then, you know, as things went on, we got this letter, you know, that talked about variants that they're looking for, et cetera, et cetera. Here again, I mean, I didn't care. I just want a nice house that's built there. The thing that concerns me more than anything is the parking on the alley. The alley access, and selfishly speaking, it's not a good idea. We have a hard enough time backing out of our driveway. We are directly across from the property that's under construction. We're the property that's under construction. It's an alley, but it's also a dead end. When we first moved in, because the amount of traffic that was coming down and turning around in our driveway. We called, at the time, I think it was Officer Simonson, 20-some-odd years ago. He was the safety guy for the police, and within a couple of days, he put a no-outlet sign. I don't think anybody reads a no-outlet sign, because we have a tremendous amount of traffic that comes down, you know, that alley. It's sort of a tourist attraction. Every jogger, they jog, and they touch the log. I don't know why they touch the log, but they touch the log, and they're jogging. I think that means their jog is complete. They get off their bikes, take a sip of water. If I'm out, I give them a bottle of water because they look like they're hot and bothered. And it's just like, so we get along with everybody. But the parking in the alley would be nothing but a burden for us trying to back out, because I'm 67 years old, and when I have to back out of my, all the way down that alley, I feel like I'm 77. My back hurts, my neck hurts because I'm looking through the camera and everything. It's really, it's no fun. With a house, or with alley access, we're not going to be able to back out of our driveway the way that we currently can, because there's I think we would have to back into the driveway of the new home to get out of our driveway, and they would have to back into our driveway, because there's just not enough room. There's not enough room for them to, you know, to navigate a turnaround, I should say. And that's really talking about the selfish aspect of it. You know, I don't want it. I can give you a million reasons why I don't want it, but it really is because of all inconveniences for myself and my wife personally. If I address the safety aspect of it, because it is a dead end, for whatever reason, it is not treated as a road. It is truly treated as an alley, but it's Wesley Avenue. Kids, if you're not familiar with the area, everyone around us pretty much, they rent. They have their tenants come in, and it's perfectly fine. We love tenants, we love tourists, we love people coming to Ocean City. But if they're not familiar with what's going on, they just dart out in between their parked cars and their driveway. And we know to drive down there at a snail's pace, and we literally do. We go very, very slow. Don't know, is there going to be a dog that runs out in between the cars? Is there going to be kids that run out? And my concern from a safety perspective would be if we have even more traffic now that's going to be going into those parking spots, it's going to be a big, I think it's going to create a safety issue for, you know, for that section of Wesley Avenue. That's really, you know, all I've got. I hope I made a little bit of sense. I mean, like I said, I had a lot I was going to talk about, but I'll save you.
Mr. Chairman, may I ask this young man a question?
Sure.
Do you want any more delays with this project?
Oh, my God, no.
You don't want the noise and the headaches of removing a foundation that's already there and replacing it with a new foundation?
No, definitely not.
Do you like what you saw and what's being built?
Yes.
Are you happy with that?
Well, definitely. It's going to be the first of that stone. And I can tell you, further to that point, when I met John, when the project had first started, and I don't even know when it was probably... seemed like forever ago, but he had said to me, he says, Eustace is going to want this property done by 4th of July, meaning this past 4th of July. And he said, man, that's going to be tough. I just met Eustace for the first time tonight, and I said, something tells me what Eustace wants, Eustace gets. And he kind of chuckled. He said, yeah, probably. So we really thought that by 4th of July this year, we were going to be done. And then when the porta potty went, we knew it wasn't happening. So, but that's all I got, folks.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you.
Public comments?
Hi. Hi. My name is Katie Matthew. I live to the north side of the property in question.
Okay. Your address, please.
What's the address?
3825
Central. 3825
Central.
Ms. Matthew, please raise your right hand. You swear affirm the testimony you'll give this evening will be the truth?
Yes. I just want to reiterate some of the things that my neighbor Dave had said. We're very excited to have a precipice building next to us. The house that was there prior was in major need of rehab. And we know that everything our precipice builds is absolutely beautiful. So this will only increase our property value at my house. My parents bought this home about 30 years ago, and they have both passed, so now I share the home with my sister and my husband in ownership, and I feel it's my responsibility and my obligation to keep the neighborhood as it is. I don't know if all of you have driven down that alleyway, but if you haven't, I encourage you to do so. Although it is an alley, it is a dead end, and it dead ends pretty much right at the property in question. It doesn't go past the precipice property. It ends pretty much like right in the middle of their property. We can sit all day long and watch people go very fast down the alley and try and turn around. They can't turn around. Sometimes it takes them four or five times to do a three-point turn because the area back there is very, it's just very difficult to back up. We have a deck in the back and with a wooden fence structure, and that gets hit numerous times over the years of people backing up because it's such a tight spot. So I am not in favor of having parking in the back. I think, as Dave had said, that it would cause a lot of problems, a lot of issues. There are children that play back there, as it is a dead end. Today I just saw a car come down that alleyway that was going very fast. You would have thought they were out on the regular street. And oftentimes they slam their brakes on because they realize it's a dead end. And that concerns me that there could be children there playing, or as Dave said, a dog, or just us trying to back out. All but two properties, I believe, have parking on Central Avenue. So I really am confused as to why the parking needs to be moved to the back when it has been approved to have it on Central Avenue. I wrote a few things down. I just want to make sure I have it all here. We're really looking forward to having this project completed. It's been a year and a half about that this started and commenced, and now it is just sitting there. Foundation is done. A lot of, obviously, the lifting has been done, and we just want this to get finished and completed. So we really don't want this to go on any further. It doesn't seem right to have to start from scratch again. Thank you for listening.
Okay, thank you.
Hi, my name is Gene Chikanowski, 1138 21 Central.
All right. Can you spell Chikanowski?
Sure. C-I-C, H-A-N, O-W, S-K-Y.
Okay. 3821 Central?
Yep.
Okay. Can you please raise your right hand? Do you swear from the testimony you'll give this evening to be the truth?
Yep.
Thank you.
Just as the others said, we're very excited to have Christopher build a home on what was one of probably the dilapidated houses around. But I guess the one thing I want to drive home is the safety. The alley is very narrow, with lots of kids and grandkids playing around in the alley. We have about 13 kids whose parents or grandparents own the house, who are between the ages of 5 and 13. And like my children did, you know, they got to play with the older kids. Now my kids are a little older and get to play with them too. And they're watching them and, you know, just make sure that they're not getting hit by the speeding cars in the alley. And then logistically, when there's not enough room to back out of the car, if the parking was in the alleyway, there's just no way for the car to reverse and then pull out. It would have to back out the whole way, which is a lot of blind spots and obstructed line of sights. And that's one thing that I'm very cautious about, and what you see every day. And as mentioned earlier, of the 8 houses that back up to the alley on Central, only 2 had alley parking access, mine being one of them. Thank you.
Thank you.
May I ask this young man a question again?
Sure.
Do you like the project that is presented that was here?
Definitely.
Do you want to see any further delays?
No.
Do you want us to tear out the foundation and put a new one in?
Absolutely not.
Just want it done.
I just want it done.
And you're happy.
And looking beautiful.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yes, ma'am.
My name is Linda Rohr. I reside at 155 Heather Road, Haddon Township. However, I own 3833 and 3835 Central Avenue. Property is totally adjacent to this property to the south.
Okay. Ms. Rohr, how do you spell Rohr? R O.
A lot of R's. R O H R E R.
Okay. Please raise your right hand. You swear from the testimony you'll give this evening to be the truth?
Yes.
Okay, thank you.
I've owned the property for almost over 30 years. I love the neighborhood. I love Ocean City. I've come here for many, many years. I agree with everything that has been said here tonight as far as the public portion. The house was totally dilapidated. The owner did not do any work. Unfortunately, when the wall came up that had mold on it, unfortunately, I was not surprised. I was saddened by it because no improvements had been made. But it was a shame that, unfortunately, the developer is reaping the misfortune of the owner that didn't do any work. As far as the alleyway, I'm here for David Lease. I believe that it creates a tremendous hardship for him. And not necessarily a hardship for me, per se, but I have a concern for the bikers, the children, the cars that come down there. I have a friendly fly. And also as far as the renters. I do rent my unit, and I don't, if parking is going to be on the alley, my concern is visitors that are coming to the new construction. I don't want to see them park on the alley because it's a dead end. It may be more convenient for them, but it isn't convenient for other people. I don't want, right now my people park, if there's excess, they park on the street. And that's the way that it has been for the Finkelstein property. And it has worked very well as far as excess, they go on the street. But there's no excess if they have to park on the alley. The only excess would be the dead end. And I think that would be a tremendous hardship for everyone. Thank you.
Anybody else? Public comment? Okay, seeing nobody else. Questions from the board? Mr. Snyder, you're on time tonight.
I think this is a tough one because the safety aspect does kind of get to me about it. So, if on the street, John, if they're saying it would create two parking spots, if there was no access from the street, the police are saying that two parking spots, two street spots, physical.
No, I don't think it's that wide, but I'll let you talk.
It's 40 feet wide.
Okay.
So a normal parallel parking space is approximately 8 by 22, so it's not quite two on street parking spaces.
Okay.
Not to mention it's two there, but you have four that you're coming off of. So.
Right. Go ahead. Thank you.
I think you've heard some of the testimony from the people that actually live there that they believe it's a much worse condition to have parking in here. But thank you.
Any more? Rob?
No, no questions. Just shot. Here's one for you, John. I'm curious, pardon my ignorance, but the original property that was raised was 2 4-bedroom units, correct? When the new plan came through and was approved by the construction and zoning office with 5 bedrooms, shouldn't that have triggered a variance for parking?
Yes, sir. It's a renovation. So any renovation, you're fine. It would be no different than if I built a brand new duplex and didn't have to go in front of you and I had a 4-bedroom duplex. I need 2 off-street parking spaces. The only time we're required to meet the RSIS requirements in Ocean City is when we go in front of the board. Every time else, it's always based on square footage of the building or the unit itself, not off the bedroom.
All right. Thank you. And then the second question, if this were to be a new build, and you talk from scratch, that's where the block average setback would come into play normally as well, or would that change?
Again, it was the zoning officer's interpretation, and again, I mean, everybody can disagree if they want to, that's fine, but it was the zoning officer's interpretation that we could use the block average, because we didn't have any intervening development in front of us. Yes, there is an alley in front of us, but there's no house. So there's no intervening development. And again, I understand it's interpretation, but Jessica interpreted, the zoning officer interpreted that way, and again, we wouldn't be able to build or renovate what we were doing without her say-so. She would have said, no, you gotta go to the board. So her interpretation was that you're okay to do block average. Obviously, Mr. McFay's company says otherwise, but again, typically, with disrespect to EDA, but I would have to yield to Jessica because she's the one who ultimately makes the call.
And if the next property to the south were going for a new build, then the block action applies since there's no
100%. I don't think there'd be any question then because there isn't any intervening alley. But again, there's no intervening development. That, I believe, is why Jessica did what she did.
Thank you.
You're
welcome. Ryan?
Current configuration. Are you able to fit a car in the back?
So, the current configuration, the only way you could get a car in the back is to do like some kind of weird parallel parking space.
Which would bring it to 5 parking spaces?
So, so you have a distance of approximately 12 feet.
What drawing are you on?
I'm on ZB3, sir.
Thank you.
So, you have 12 foot and a quarter inch, and again, at the south end or at the left-hand side of that plot plan, there is a retaining wall of some kind that prevents you from going any further. So could you try to squeeze in a parallel spot there? Possibly. But again, I would yield to the neighbors who are all important direct neighbors who say trying to get another car down that alley is just a really, really, really bad idea.
I just think on a Saturday when somebody checks in, park there, it's there for the week, in other words, as opposed to parking four blocks away, because we're adding two bedrooms, we're going to be adding two more vehicles, there's four vehicles there, it's going to be a mess.
Are you making a suggestion that they're going to actually just park at the end of the alley? Is that what you're kind of saying? You're
parking in that spot. Can we make that a spot? Can you parallel a vehicle in that by code?
Theoretically, yes, you could, but I don't think that would be a good idea, because now you're encouraging people to come down that alley who've never been down that alley before. That's the argument that I would make. And then getting out of that spot, you have to back all the way down the alley because there'd be no real good way to turn around. You wouldn't have 24 feet to kind of swing your car out. That would be the issue. That would be the tricky part of that. It wouldn't be a problem if you continue going straight out forward, but I think trying to back out down, that's how you have to do it. We have to back down the entire alley and park parallel park into that spot, which I think would be pretty dang tight.
Would they be open to making it a parking and let the owner choose that? Designate that area for parking?
Well, I actually drove down that alley. It wasn't that freaking tough.
Yeah, I did the same thing. I mean,
would they have tractor trailers?
So then the question would be, so it would be 9 by 18, do they meet the setback? Because there's setback requirements off the property line in the building. Well, no, I mean,
central. One of the things, because the rest of the building hasn't been built on that back section, is you'll notice that the garage doors are actually recessed 18 feet, but the building comes out further. We had columns coming down to support that expansion or that the part of the building that's further out from the garage door. One of the things we could do is cantilever out beams to reduce the columns and then try to get basically four parking spaces across the front of the building. So we would have a total of three off-street parking spaces per unit. We would still use the 26 or almost 27 foot wide driveway at the Central Avenue space, and then we'd have pervious pavers across the front and get the extra two spaces that way. So we would restructure how the building in the front works. It really wouldn't change it much aesthetically. We simply wouldn't have any of the columns coming down the front, but that would be a way for us to get the four parking spaces basically across the entire front, and then the two interior spaces, one in each garage. And now we're getting two more instead of just one more. And we're going to be safer because we're not going to be increasing traffic on the alley.
But the 40-foot allows for four spots.
So the 40-foot would allow for, because again, you'd be 36 feet wide, plus you only need a one-foot side yard setback buffer, because we're coming off the street, so we're going to be 18. So technically, we have 38 feet to play with, and we have 36 for the cars, so we got an extra 2 feet of surplus, so we can make it work that way. I mean, maybe I can do something with the columns, but I'd like to try to get it so it's possibly column-free, so again, it's not an issue with people who are parking in the property. And then we can get three parking spaces per unit.
What about putting two cars under the house?
That would be great, but unfortunately where the stair towers are, and because of the front yard setback of 18, so the south side of the property, we have basically 35 feet on the inside of the garage. The problem would be I could almost get two parking spots in there, but it would be short by like a foot. So if you gave me a variance for compact cars, which nobody would drive here. Yeah, but it just doesn't work math-wise. With where the stairs and everything else, I can't get any further down. That's the problem.
How far would you have to go down?
I have to go down technically another, let's see, so 35 there, so we're losing another 6. So I'd have to go down another, another 7 feet. And that would be into the stairwell that's built there now. That's the problem. And then you'd also have 3 stacked directly behind each other. So at least this way you have 2 that can get out at any time, and then you only have 1 that's stacked, which normally the boards like better because now you're not backing out 2 cars to get out 1, you're backing out just 1 car to get to the other one if you need to. And the pervious pavers would obviously decrease impervious as well.
Did you already have pervious pavers going in?
No, sir, we did not. We had the concrete originally. Again, on this application for approved, we're absolutely going to use pervious pavers for the driveway, but we'd be increasing the pervious pavers probably all the way to the edges or 1 foot away from the edges so they'd make up part of the walkway and it would technically reduce some pervious coverage.
Satisfy you or is you still
I'm
studying?
Just trying to figure out this, okay. If we can't go 2 cars in, but you can skip me over to.
Andrew, can you clarify this lease memorandum dated 6/17/26? This seems to reference that the plan includes new driveway access on off Central Avenue for 2 new garages. And it is saying the existing structure already has multiple parking spots beneath the first floor for both properties. Parking spots are accessible from the rear off the existing public alley. There was never parking off the public alley.
No, sir, never.
Right. So is this memorandum relevant to this application?
I apologize. I'm familiar with the memorandum.
So Lieutenant Vivarelli viewed this as new construction when he did his review.
Okay. Well, we never planned on having any parking off the alley, so maybe it was just some boilerplate that got spilled over. I don't know.
Right.
But I have not seen that memorandum.
So this memo should not be considered. Because this memo is saying, park in the alley, don't park on Central. So right. This should not be considered as part of this process.
Yes, sir. Okay. And again, due to the testimony from the neighbors, I would argue we should do everything in our power not to have parking off of the alley.
I agree.
Brian?
So we see a lot of these beachfront house lifts that come before the building. We've seen a number of over the years. Why did this one not come here in the first place? How did this one get through zoning as opposed to, you know,
really damn good architect? yeah, I mean, we knew what we were doing. It was a renovation. That's why we didn't have to do it. They're all
renovations. But.
Agreed, but again, this we worked with the city, we worked with everybody, and unfortunately it got to a point where too much was demolished. But it was fully legal. I mean, again, Jessica approved all this. I had multiple meetings with her. We got it approved through her. No problems. We didn't want to waste your time. We did. And again, let me be very clear. The building isn't going to look any different from what she approved from what was in front of you now, with the exception of pervious pavers in the front and potentially some cantilever action going on in the front for additional parking. It's going to look no different.
I assume you submitted a demo plan when this was done the first
time? Yes, sir.
Then that demo plan was followed to what then, I guess?
It was followed all the way to the end until the building was set back down onto the foundation. When it was set back down on the foundation, that's when the sheathing started coming off. That's when the studs went from bad to worse. And that's when the contractor made the decision that for the safety of his crew, for the safety of the neighbors, for the safety of the public, he was just taking it down. He wasn't
you know, waiting and saying, hey, maybe, or whatever. Again, he was a little quick to jump the gun, but he was being proactive for safety. That's why it was taken down.
I know you said it's conforming, but it's conforming based on the existing building, not conforming based on
new. It's, with the exception of the rear yard setback, it's fully conforming to all setbacks. Again, Jessica said it was, but again, the only issues are the coverages, which are, yes, the building coverage and the impervious coverage. Those are the real important ones, I would say, that we're talking about. But again, it was a renovation, so they're allowed to be pre-existing that way. Again, when the city said that it's too much demo to the house, that's when this trigger comes.
It appears there are some expansions from the previous footprint of the previous building.
100%. What we were allowed to do is we were allowed to reduce in width and we could increase in length because, again, when you do a renovation, if you had a 2,000 square foot home and you could make that 2,000 square feet work within the setbacks, you're allowed to then expand the building back to that 2,000 square feet. So when we reduced in width, we increased in length towards the front of the property, not towards the rear. And that's how we were able to still reduce coverage, but still lengthen in areas. Also adding portions which don't count in the building coverage, obviously count impervious coverage, but adding some decorative portions in the front of the building to make it look nicer than what was there.
Right. You said Jessica classified this as an RO240?
Yes, sir, it is an RO240.
That's in, I assume that's in her
set
of approval?
Yes, sir.
And then, what are your thoughts on finding ways to, you know, the parking? I know we discussed it'd be nice to find a way to get, because you added a bedroom, or it used to be 8, was now going to be 10.
Well,
we all know what a 10-bedroom house looks like on 4th of July. Is there a way to get, you know, that thing? 4 cars across the front is difficult. You can't open the doors. I've seen that scenario. Any suggestion would be helpful. And then the other one would be the impervious. You know, we're still. We got better with that the pro paper driveway, but it'd be nice to see another way to increase that. I don't know if you have any suggestions.
Well, as you can see on the plot plan, when we turn the driveways into impervious paper driveways, that will obviously certainly help. But with the exception of the concrete walkways, which are approximately 3 feet wide now, you know, they maybe go to 30 or 24 inches. I mean, I know they're not. They don't count towards anything now, but there could also be some recharge added to this. If that was something the Lord would want us to add, we could certainly have recharge along the sides of the building to reduce impervious or reduce water runoff again. Please keep in mind that there's also retaining wall going around this. So any water that falls on site is going to stay on site. It's going to perk down through that very silty, sandy soil and go into the ground. So I do believe that it's going to be a big improvement from whatever was there before.
What about like stepping stones down the side? Is that what dramatically increase your impervious?
Again, you could certainly do some stepping stones, 24 by 24 stepping stones. That was something that
just seems like there's opportunity to get that impervious number close to
the I think you're going to get it down maybe another 2 or 3%, honestly. I don't think you're going to be. I mean, even with the driveways changing, you know, we only went down 6.7%. You're looking at maybe another 2, maybe 3% that you're going to be able to drop this by doing stepping stones.
We're happy to do stepping stones.
Yeah, and we're more than happy to show.
I understand how the stones work in terms of coverage, but functionality, obviously that's a lot of what it's worth.
Yep.
That's all I have.
Jamie?
Yeah, so the house that was there before,
yes.
Total square foot inside was what?
Total square foot inside was 1,831 square feet or 45.7%.
It's 1,800 square foot.
Yes, sir. 1,831.
What is the new one that you're putting?
1,751.
Right. So you're not increasing. I just want to get understanding of what happened. And I apologize. You did a great job explaining it. I'm just not following completely. So you picked the house up because you were going to pick the house up and put a new footing on it and raise it.
So what had to happen, because we're doing more than a 50% renovation,
gotcha.
You have to lift the house. So the home was lifted.
Okay.
The home was lifted. If you go on Google Earth, you'll see it's lifted in the air anytime you look at the address. A new foundation where the walls were coming in was added. Where the existing foundation was, there was some shoring up with some helical piles. That whole foundation was taken care of, done, inspected. The building was then put back down on top of that foundation. As they were starting to put the building back together, they started ripping off the sheathing because they had the sister studs and what have you. That's when they noticed the black mold. That's when they noticed the rot. That's when they noticed a lot more damage to the studs than what they could see from the inside, because they couldn't get to the outside.
So they started to make repairs on that, and then someone showed up and stopped the whole job?
No, so what happened was, they saw how bad and disrepaired those were, and they said, well, this is no good, just take it down. And they took it down. So because we removed the studs for the walls entirely, this city said, well, this is no longer a renovation, this is new construction, and therefore you need to go to the zoning board, because you're doing new construction, not a renovation.
So you said they took it down, you mean they moved it out? They ripped it down and knocked it down? Or?
They set the building back down, and when they started removing parts of the building to shore up other parts,
yes.
What they had left to shore up was junk. So they said, this is no good, just take it all down. The safety of the people, everybody...
They took it all down.
They took it all down to basically the floor deck of the space off the back of the alley, and that was it. And they took it all down, they were going to start from fresh with new studs. Correct. So at no point in time was the lot cleared. The lot always had a foundation on it from Jump Street. It's just that once they put the thing back down, they cleared the rest of the building that was on top of it off entirely.
And when you say that what was going to go there, so when they were going to put the building back and then it was finished, it's going to completely look like it was right now.
Yes.
When you're done, it looks not going to change it.
Correct.
It's going to be the same thing, it's just a little smaller.
Just instead of the skeleton having old wood in it, it has all the wood in it. That's the problem.
You had 4 bedrooms, but you're putting 5.
We proposed 5. We were allowed to do 5 by zoning. We're proposing 5 again. Again, the square footage of the building has gone down. We just made the bedrooms not 70 style. It was 4 before.
And you were going to, before, were you going to make it 5 also when you originally put in? Or was it going to
yes,
be 5?
Sir. It was always
5. So you were just going to change the layout to make more bedrooms?
Correct, because they had 20 by 16 bedrooms, which unfortunately we don't do those.
Thank you for explaining that.
Okay, thank you. My questions have been answered. Just 2 comments about children in the alley. We've had 4 houses that are in the city, and the alleys are always like playgrounds. I've never seen a child hurt yet. And I did manage to drive my car down the rear and did get turned around. Had to make a K-turn, but it wasn't that hard. So, anyway, that finishes it for us.
May I ask Ryan a question?
Pardon?
Ryan, what are you trying to get the impervious down to?
That could be open for a discussion.
Okay.
We're looking at 2, long concrete walkways when we have an impervious issue. So I guess my comment was there's a lot of room for improvement there. They agreed to do stepping stones. But whatever everybody thinks.
If there's anybody has an impervious paver walkway?
Not yet in the ordinance. It's only pervious for where driveways are.
They can, but it won't count.
It won't count.
So
we can do it all pervious.
But it could, technically change.
Correct. We're not allowed to count that as part of
it. And the stepping stones don't count
either. Stepping stones will still count.
They do.
Yeah.
Andrew, is that retaining wall on the back? Is that?
No, retaining wall. So anything 8 inches or less where the retaining walls don't count the pervious coverage. So the retaining wall doesn't.
Well, I guess I'm back to being mom here. Is that I'm not allowed to move the car back there right now? Like is it a step up? Like can I drive? This is built right now. And there's grass in that backyard and I decide I want to park right there. Is there something like?
Yes, there's a retaining wall that's approximately there. It's very close to what you see there now.
Okay.
It's a retaining wall there.
So you can surface.
How high is that? How high is that?
About 30 inches.
So you're saying you can't park a vehicle back there?
No, that retaining wall is approximately 2 feet tall.
Andrew, it's going to be.
Yeah, it's not there now.
Actually, it is. The retaining wall is there now from the previous house. So that photo that you see, where there's the Jeep, that's showing that retaining wall that's there now.
It's that same idea.
Same idea, exactly.
Okay.
And the problem with that is that was dropped. Now you have people backing onto your grass to make a K-turn to get out of that alley.
Yeah, but there's not much grass actually. That's all sand.
Well, that's the other thing. The retaining wall will allow you to have a lawn in your backyard, not to pull the sand.
Okay. JB?
Have we voted? No, we haven't voted.
Would you like to summarize, sir?
Hold on. Are we going to add the parking?
That's still up in
the I'm going to explain what I think I heard of the board and what the applicant is willing to do. The first thing is I want to say is we're just looking to finish what was started. Right? We came before this board with the idea that what's there right now is a lawfully existing structure. This land use law is still partially there, and therefore it can be rebuilt to the extent of the foundation that's been previously approved and lawfully exists on the property. We also heard the board ask about additional parking. So six parking spots are necessary, and with some cantilever as well as some architectural designs, we can provide you with those six spots, which would be conforming. Six spots would be conforming, and they would be up front. We also heard some of the chair of the board wanting to have some additional impervious coverage. We will utilize all practical methods, including stepping stones, so that we can get you as much of a reduction within practicality to get that impervious even lower. So you've also heard from the board, from the public, and the public would like to have this particular project built without further delay. In addition, you heard about how difficult it is for them who live there to access parking from the alley, and there are concerns about children. They don't think that without intruding onto somebody else's property, that you can do a K-turn. They live there, and that's what their testimony was this evening. So I think what we're trying to accomplish is just to finish what was previously approved by Jessica. The only difference is that we were going to use some old framing to put on the foundation, which is lawfully existing and there. And in order for this project, if it were to be denied, your testimony from the planner, who says that come in, take that foundation out, put the foundation in, and for a building that was previously approved by the zoning officer to be done. So I think we've addressed all of your concerns with regard to parking, with regard to impervious coverage. In addition, you heard from the public that this is something that they would like to see built. But I'm not so sure that from a municipal land use perspective, that a decision by this board to grant it would be arbitrary or capricious or unreasonable. Because it would be all those, the opposite of those things. So please take into consideration why we're here, which is not voluntarily. We're here because we had to do a lift, because we wanted to do the renovation, and it was during the lift that some of this, not most of it, was brought to the attention of the builder, who then made a decision that this is not safe, and we are here at the mercy of the board just to let us build what everybody was expecting to be built there. Thank you.
Hey, John. I'm sorry. I'd like to ask one more question.
Sure.
Understanding impervious pavers as the sidewalks doesn't count towards a reduction today. But knowing full well that half the time when people put in, you know, some paving stones or some flagstone paving, whatever it might be, after the CO happens, they get ripped out anyhow, and somebody pours concrete in the wintertime, and now we're right back to where we started. Would it be possible to request pervious pavers as part of the plan? Even though there's no reduction, it wouldn't technically reduce the impervious, but it's actually better than...
We're going to go out in 2 years and inspect this after CO, just so you know. So
here's what I would say.
Pervious pavers are great.
suffer. But if you ask a lot of women who wear high heels, they just want to throw up because it just sinks them right into the body. I'm sorry, pervious papers.
Those are pervious those are the grass blocks. Pervious or solid?
Pervious, pervious, I'd be able to say. Thank you.
Grass block are the ones we hate.
Okay.
Just a couple of open issues. I know on the impervious coverage, doing the permeable pavers in the driveway, that's going to get you 73.3%. Do we know what putting the stepping stones can get? We want to vote on
it as much as humanly possible. Again, when we do the pervious paver driveway all the way across, there'll probably be some access with that as well, so that might even reduce some more concrete that we have in front of the building anyway. So we will get it down as much as humanly possible. I think it's going to probably be a reduction of another 2 to potential 3%, but we will do everything in our power to reduce the impervious coverage. We'll add the stepping stones unless the board wants us to do pervious paver walkways, which we're more than happy to do. Whatever the board recommends, we can do stepping stones or pervious paver.
Okay, so is the board voting on the, I mean, the number would be 73.3%, but then the condition would be that they're also going to put the stepping stones down the sides, the sidewalkways, and also put the permeable pavers as far across as they possibly can, and they're going to provide us an updated calculation, which will be lower than 73.3%. Is that... Is the board comfortable with that?
Well, the
knowing the condition will be that they have to provide those stepping stones down the walkway, which will reduce that number, but we're just not going to know the exact figure.
I think the parking thing plays. These two things are going hand in hand. So
the resolution would be the maximum 73.3% is how the resolution would read. That's that we need an exact
number. Do you have
an
estimation of how much the stepping stones are going to be? I mean, if you leave the parking the way it is, you can easily remove the concrete that runs all the way out to the property line on the Central Avenue side. That would significantly reduce it. You're talking about, what is that, a 3-foot wide walkway, 4-foot wide walkway?
Yes, so the two walkways on either side, you could remove those for sure if you were not adding the additional parking to the front. So they could be reduced. And again, if we're going to stepping stones, you're probably looking at around a 50% reduction in the walkway area. And I'm going to say that it's still probably only going to be about 2, maybe 3% of a reduction.
The stairs going down to the backyard, is that any like a step terrace going down there? Is that a landing? Like two? Am I looking over right?
So along the sides, there's steps that go up and then down. So that's not going to be able to be pervious in any way, shape, or form. That's still landing. We're going to have to have the walkways to those landings, to those steps down the sides. Those are what can be reduced. And obviously, the steps up over the retaining wall along the side of the building, they will have to be counted as impervious as well, because they're bigger than 8 inches. But once you get up to the higher elevation, you can go to stepping stones, and I can't really change any of the other landings, because that is impervious no matter what. And I have to maintain minimum sizes for those landings, obviously.
Okay.
But I'm thinking about possibly another 2, maybe 3% reduction in impervious.
So impervious should hit at least 70%?
Very close to 70 is where we would aim. I'm not sure if we can get there exactly, but
3.7%.
That's a lot. That's a lot. So I would say 2 to 3%. I like Jamie's call better, though, where she says not to exceed that. And if it's something where the board wants us to work with just in the phase office so that he's happy with the way we're doing the pervious papers, we can certainly make that forbidden, of the resolution if you want to.
72%. I got to go underneath the.
Or 71. He said 2 to 3. So 2 would be 70.
I like what Brian said. Like 70.
He's at 73.3.
And then
you're
back
to 2%.
Check it.
Yeah. Just don't make it 73.3. Drop it below that.
So what?
Make it 72.
Max 72.
Yeah.
That would be interesting.
And have it verified by Joe.
Yeah. Well, they're going to need revised plans anyway. So
that's great.
Whatever you have to do, right? Right, Leo, for the
72, we're coming back.
Or less.
Or not. We might not be coming back off.
And then the other issue, and then the Are we going to go with the six spaces? Did we resolve that?
Yes, we are.
Okay, so that's...
What's the, just to confirm, the layout of the six spaces is three, four across the front?
Four across the front, yes, sir.
And they'll be conforming.
What's the side yard on that, then?
You're going to have 2 feet on either side yard. 2 feet on either side.
The curb cut will be the full width of...
We'll leave the curb cut the way it is. We leave the curb cut the way that it is.
And the only other thing, and then I'll summarize everything as best I can, the rear yard setback, I know there was some disagreement. You comply with the average. Mr. Maffei's office indicates, and apparently that's also what the zoning officer agrees with. Mr. Maffei's office seems to suggest the requirement's 25 feet. It's just a matter of how do you want to...
So from a practical standpoint, the board's either going to like the project or not. So if the board wants to say that we need 25 feet and that we're looking for a variance, that's fine. There's no, it's almost a pointless matter. Unless the board's going to make the decision whether or not the variance is required or not, we're kind of at a standstill. But I think for purposes of what the board could do is just assume that a variance is required and you're going to allow us to build what's been partially built already.
I was inclined to include it as part of the relief. Call it a rear yard setback variance.
It's not like it's a counting game. You're asking for six variants or three variances. Variance is based on whether or not this makes sound municipal law sense. You think it does?
Okay. So this is an application that the zoning office determined that this was a new build. The foundation's there. The applicant's requested several C variances. I'll summarize those. Combined side yard setback, 11 feet is the requirement. They're at 10.96. So that's 0.04 feet. The rear yard setback to the building, we're going to say 25 feet is the requirement. They're at 17 feet, which the testimony was does meet the average. Same thing with the rear yard deck, 25 feet is the requirement. They're at 12.02 feet. In terms of building coverage, 38% is the permitted maximum. They reduced it slightly, but they're still at 43.8%, so that's a variance. And the impervious coverage, 55% is the requirement. We just went through a lot of back and forth. They've reduced it from 93.1%. And the number we're going to use is no greater than 72%. One of the conditions will be you'll have the permeable pavers in the driveway, you'll have the stepping stones down the sides. Do whatever else you need to do to get it to 72 or less. Parking is now compliant, so they're going to provide for the six spaces, and then the other variance is for parking in the front yard, parking along driveway along Central Avenue. There was also a waiver, technically. The existing driveway is 26.81 feet wide, and the maximum permitted width was 25 feet. So those are the variants and the waivers. I'm going to summarize the testimony after. But in terms of the conditions, again, we'll put these permeable pavers and stepping stones down the driveway. We'll make sure the parking's compliant, three spaces per unit or six total spaces. We have to submit revised plans. Anything else in Mr. Maffei's report, which included the performance guarantees, anything else in his report unless otherwise addressed, and standard conditions or comply with any representations made during the course of the hearing, subject to any outside approvals that may be required, and just all the other standard conditions that we put in every resolution. In terms of the testimony, the applicant tried, or through the testimony, presented a case for what we call a C1 hardship standard. The testimony was that the foundation's already there, require the applicant to remove it and start from scratch to a brand new foundation in a new home would present a hardship. I believe a C2 case where the board balances the positives and the negatives, the positives being satisfied by the applicant demonstrating that one or more purposes of the zoning as set forth in the municipal land use law can be advanced by granting the variances. The applicant went through several. You're going to get a new general welfare will be promoted because the applicants improved upon many non-conforming conditions while still requiring some variances. Side yard setback is now conforming. Parking is now conforming. Building coverage and impervious coverage get better. It's going to meet the flood standards now. So that would advance the general welfare. According to the applicant, the other one's obviously flood protection. It's now going to be an elevated property that's going to be flood compliant. And the third was a desirable visual environment, brand new two-family dwelling on the property. And in terms of the negatives, the board considers whether there be any substantial detriment to the public good or substantial impairment to the zone plan or zoning norms of the city of Ocean City. Again, the applicant went through a little bit of redundancy. A lot of these things overlap, but all the improvements that were made. It's consistent with the neighborhood in terms of the homes along the block, the two families, most of them park on Central Avenue, and very few of them use the alley. The building coverage is an improvement. Side yard setbacks now compliant. Impervious coverage is an improvement. Flood is now compliant. And parking is now compliant. So that was essentially the testimony. The board's got to balance the positives and negatives. I summarized the variances, the waiver, and the conditions. We're ready. We'll need a motion, a second, and a roll call vote.
Motion.
Second.
Mr. Price?
Based on the improvements and getting some of these variances either reduced or eliminated, I'm going to say yes.
Mr. Geary?
Similar to what Mr. Price said, I'm going to vote yes as well.
Mr. Logue?
Yeah, I came in with three major concerns: the impervious, the parking spaces, and the parking in the yard. Fixed the parking spaces, the impervious is improved, and after listening to the public, I'm okay with the parking. So, yes.
Mr. DeMarco?
Yes.
Mr. Becker?
Public has spoken, and got to listen to them.
Mrs. Snyder?
Yes.
Mr. Waddell?
Yes.
You want Joe to prepare the cost estimate?
Yes, please.
Thank you.
I want to thank the board for their time. I did not make it to the pool, which closes at 8.
You need to address ZBA 26-0.
We're going to withdraw that. Thank you.
You'll send me a letter.
Unusual circumstance. I hope never to have to do it again. Thank you.
You can get Jamie a letter to that effect, John.
Yep, I'll give Jamie a letter for the affidavit.
We need a motion to adjourn.
Yep, motion to adjourn, folks.
Motion.
Motion. Second.
Second.
Vote. Second. Okay.
You guys not vote on that?